think we're ready to get started. And I want to welcome everybody here to Hempwood. What a great day for Hempwood. What a great day for Murray, Callaway County, Murray State University, and this whole community and agriculture in general. We want to welcome you here all today. I'm Tony Brannon. I'm a has-been. I used to be dean at Murray State Agriculture, and now I'm retired, and I work as a regional facilitator for Wave Ag down in the River Counties. But most importantly today, I'm a hemp farmer. I'm one of Greg's farmers. So some of the hemp that you see in here today may have come from my farm. So it's a great opportunity, and I take great pleasure in kind of emceeing today's. We got several speakers before we have the ceremonial wood cutting today. So I want to just briefly ask you if you have a good friend of mine, Tim Todd, this provost at Murray State. He calls these memory makers, things that stick in your mind. So I'm going to very briefly hit you a couple things that stick in my mind as it relates to hemp. August the 23rd, 2012, I was at the state fair, and before the ham breakfast, they had a press conference. And Senator Rand Paul and Commissioner Jamie Comer were there, and Senator Paul, you wore a hemp shirt that you got from Canada. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'd heard of hemp, but I'd never heard about it being reintroduced. So I thought, that's interesting. Fast forward 2 years, Commissioner Comer says, if this is ever legal, would you plant it at Murray State? And I said, sure, thinking that it probably wouldn't be legal. On February the 7th, U.S. Congress passed the farm bill that had a provision in there that you could have a pilot program. And March the 14th of 2014, Commissioner Comer called me in the parking lot of the transportation at Murray State and said, it passed. We got your seed on the way. Can you be here Monday morning? And I said, yes, sir. And then I looked, Googled, and said, how do you grow hemp? Because I had no idea. Well, little do we know, Miss Doris was there. We'll speak a little bit later. But we picked up our hemp. A couple of graduate students did on Monday morning. We planted them. By 5 o'clock that afternoon, we had them planted, and then Commissioner Comer said, you might want to hold, called me and said, you might want to hold up on planting them seeds. The DEA has confiscated all the rest of our seeds. And I said, Commissioner, if the DEA wants them, they'll have to come get them out of the ground one seed at a time because they're already in the ground. He said, carry on. So we never did have any feedback from that, but that was May the 12th, 2014, the first legally planted seed in the United States of America. And its reintroduction was at Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky, and we're proud of that. Fast forward to 2016. In the meantime, Dr. Parr came back, and we had many calls wanting us to work with hemp. And he was our assistant dean at the time, and just about every day we'd have a call. We had some come in our office that wanted to donate us $2 million and all kind of, but, you know, it was always the second call or the second visit that you found out that somebody was there. Well, I got this call, and he said, I'm Greg Wilson, and I'm from China. Now, I don't specifically remember, but Greg says you don't sound Chinese. But he was making bamboo flooring in China, and he had read about Murray State and planting hemp, and he wanted to come to our area. And so over the next 2 years, in 17 he came, and in 2018, Phil McCallan, one of our alumni, was the first person that worked with Greg in Hempwood as they were getting to set this up. And then he was able to locate out here on Swift Farm, and the rest is history. One brief story I'll tell. It wouldn't be Brandon unless it was a brief story. But I was sitting at Sunday school table a couple weeks ago, and somebody said, Brandon, you're old. And I said, you're right. And they said, you probably walked uphill both ways in the snow and ice to school, didn't you? And I said, matter of fact, I did. And I said, one day I was late to school because I started walking, and every time I took one step forward, I took two steps back. One step forward, two steps back, and I wasn't making any progress. And I finally got to school, and the teacher said, Brandon, you're an hour late. And I said, yes, ma'am, I know, but I was coming to school, and it was so slick, I'd take one step forward and two steps back. And she said, well, if that's the case, how'd you ever get here? And I said, well, I got mad and turned around and went back home. You'll have to think about that. But the moral of that is, this man, Greg Wilson, has taken a lot of one steps forward and two steps back, but he figured it out, and he's still making progress. Greg, we salute you. With that, I'm going to introduce a couple of people to speak today, and we're going to keep this thing moving and then hear from Senator Paul. So glad to have you here and all of your staff. Chris Woolridge, Economic Development, Murray State University, has been invaluable to Greg and his operation. Chris?
Thank you, Dr. Brannon. When I saw on the agenda that I was going to be following Dr. Brannon, I knew that I'd have half the time I needed to give my presentation. So I'm going to cut portions of this out to compensate for time. But Dr. Brannon has been an asset as well to Greg. So while I appreciate the accolade from you, accolades to you as well. Or accolades to me, accolades to you as well. Good afternoon and welcome to Hempwood. We are celebrating a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and a wonderful turnout for cutting a board. We're going to cut a board today. We're not going to cut a ribbon. We're going to cut a board. And we're going to cut a board because of the success of an entrepreneur who came to Murray, who came to West Kentucky, and invested in us. Greg, I want to thank you. A round of applause for Greg for even choosing to be here. Where is Greg? Greg disappeared. My name is Chris Woolridge, and I am the director of the Center for Economic and Entrepreneur Development at Murray State University. Our center is an outreach program housed in the College of Business. And the College of Business, in addition to the Jones College of Science, Engineering, Technology, and the Hudson School of Agriculture, partnered and worked together to support this effort, to support Greg, to support his team, and to support the growth of jobs, the creation of wealth, and the improvement of the quality of life in our areas, both on the academic side as well as on the outreach side. I do want to recognize some folks that are here from the university. I want to recognize Dr. Ron Patterson, who is here. Thank you, Mr. President, for being here. Dr. Tim Todd, who is provost. He's on his way. He just texted me. Dr. Heath Keller, who is my boss, dean of the Byron Fine College of Business. Thank you, Dean. Dr. Brian Parr. Everybody knows Dr. Parr, I'm sure. Dean of the Hudson School of Ag, and then Dr. Kevin Miller. Dr. Miller is here. Yes, Dr. Kevin Miller with our science college. All have played an important role in the leadership and support of working with Hempwood. And you might say, well, why is that? Why do we have three colleges? Why do we have the university? Why do we have the leadership team of the university out here? Because this is the work that a 21st century university does. I think you can agree with that. That a university has to do the outreach and has to do the academic side. Because when we can be part of whatever solutions out there or help those who improve the quality of life, improve our communities, I feel we have a responsibility to do that. We have Board of Regents here as well. Dr. Mindshine, I believe, is somewhere around there as well. You've got a lot of representation here from your university here in West Kentucky. And so I'm excited that our university has been an activist and a catalyst and in finding our role in supporting our communities, both in the classroom as well as in the field. Today we celebrate the expansion of Hempwood. Hempwood, as you know, converts hemp stalk into hemp substitutes. The idea of using hemp as a sustainable wood substitute was inspired by the work that Greg has done over the years. It's his education experience in both working with bamboo and other materials that when hemp actually came on the radar screen as a product to consider, he said, I can do that. Greg said, I can do that. I know how to do that. And so he came here through the contacts he had with Murray State, reaching out with our proactive getting into this area in our field under Dr. Brannon's leadership and the other leadership that we've had. And in that material, using what he knew, he built what you see here. This product is a godsend in a lot of ways. One is it's helping create jobs, right? It's creating wealth in our community. It's creating opportunities. It's creating entrepreneurship. It's increasing commerce. Products from this facility go around the world. They go around the world. But also because this is the start of some of the opportunities to take a product and continue to support the sustainability of our forests by using a material that creates jobs that otherwise may not be used to create jobs, to create a sustainable product. When I think of Greg and having worked with him Over the years, four words come to mind. Entrepreneur, I think that goes without saying. Innovator, who else could innovate this kind of stuff other than Greg, having the experience. Resilience and determination. Greg will tell you, if you have time, that there have been a few challenges, wouldn't you say, Greg? Both from COVID, from other challenges, which we won't go into, but he's had to come across a lot of deep chasms to get where we are today. And he's been determined to do it. He's stuck with it. He's kept the faith in this community. He's kept the faith in the resources that have come to him. And for that, Greg, I'm very appreciative. So thank you. These products support our farmers. They support manufacturing jobs. And again, being shipped around the world says a lot about products made here in West Kentucky. So we appreciate it. In closing, I'm just going to say that please enjoy the tour, enjoy the food, enjoy the fans wherever they are. Try to stand close to them. And let's celebrate this great opportunity to welcome the expansion of a wonderful and successful business here in our community. So, Greg, thank you.
Greg made you a good nameplate for your desk. That's out of Hempwood.
I can remember who I am.
There you go. I'm going to ask this next group to come on up and let them speak one after another. Dean Brian Parr, the Dean of the Hudson School of Agriculture, Ms. Doris Hamilton with the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, and Mr. Jacob Ball with the Bluegrass Ag Development Corporation. Dr. Parr.
Thank you, Dr. Brennan. I just want to say thank you to Greg and his staff here. Greg is really an industry partner like we look for our students in the Hudson School of Agriculture. Not only is he supporting the industry of agriculture, but he's employing our students, as many of those leaders in his company are former students of ours through the School of Agriculture, and then employing them into gainful careers here. And so we're thankful for that. He gives back as often as he can, comes to our career fairs, and supports us as we educate the next group of agricultural professionals that will come out into the industry. We've been involved, as Dr. Brandon mentioned, with growth trials on our farms ever since hemp became legal again in order for us to experiment with, and Greg has been a huge part of that, and we certainly appreciate the continued collaboration that we've had with Greg and the folks here at Hempwood. So thanks again.
I believe you'll go that way. He's got you a nameplate there. Don't want to forget your nameplate. We've had the privilege of having this program administered by the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, and a lot of consistencies there. All commissioners, from Commissioner Comer to Commissioner Quarles to Commissioner Shell, have been all supportive of the hemp program and administering the hemp program and working with Greg and working with us and getting the hemp done. But one thing's been consistent among those administration, Ms. Doris Hamilton, who's the Division Director of Plant Services for KDA now. She's been promoted, but she still works for hemp. Ms. Doris, good to have you here again.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brandon. I feel like we've been in the trenches of hemp together for a long time. I am Doris Hamilton, and I have been at the Department of Agriculture since 2013, about 3 months after I accepted a role at the department. That is when the 2014 Farm Bill was signed, and all those calls, that phone number in that first press release about hemp in the state of Kentucky, rang to my desk. So it's been an exciting journey. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here with you all today to celebrate this tremendous accomplishment of Greg and Bings and their entire crew at Hempwood. So on behalf of Commissioner Shell and everyone at the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, I just want to congratulate them on their successes, and we can't wait to see what comes next. But like Dr. Brandon, I have some stories from first interactions with Greg, but I'll keep it short. We'll see who is better at that, but we both tend to be long-winded. But so my first phone call with Greg, and I've told him this many times, I remember that first phone call, and he had big ideas, he had big plans, but that was not unlike dozens and dozens of phone calls that I received every month back during that time from all over the country. But this guy was in China, not the United States, and he was mentioning being in contact with Dr. Brandon at Murray State, and I thought, well, we'll see if he ever calls back again. And so the first phone call was in 2017 and 2018. He called back, and he had a lot of information that sounded much clearer. And with every conversation I had with Greg, he distanced himself from all those other callers. And in June of 2018, he applied for his first hemp license, and he's been licensed in the hemp program since that point in time. And it has been an honor to celebrate several successes alongside Greg and his team. He afforded me the opportunity to testify in front of an appeals board with Dr. Brannon. So we celebrated that success together. In 2023, I believe it was, Tony Brannon and I found ourselves in the same corner backing an application for the Ag Development Board to establish the Hemp Grower Network. So on behalf of Kentucky farmers who have found hemp fiber to be a successful crop in their operation, I want to thank you, Greg, and Bing, and your entire company. And again, on behalf of Commissioner Schell, I congratulate you on your success, and we can't wait to celebrate many more successes with you alongside Kentucky farmers and Kentucky agriculture. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Doris. And we successfully appealed the USDA decision that they tended to say, a senator, that hemp wasn't legal. And that was some years after it had been passed. So we got him a grant there. Jacob Ball, Kentucky Bluegrass Development Corp. I'll let you tell what that is, and we welcome you to Murray.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jacob Ball. I'm the executive director for the Bluegrass Ag Tech Development Corporation. I'm a lifelong Kentuckian, born and raised in Nelson County, and currently reside in Lexington. I love this state, and I understand firsthand how important agriculture and innovation are to rural communities like Murray. Agriculture is more than our heritage. It's our economy, it's our identity, and it's our future. Before stepping into this role, I spent over a decade as an agriculture educator. I've seen how powerful it is when students realize that agriculture is about more than crops and livestock. It's science, it's technology, it's business. Days like today remind me why I do this work, to create opportunities to keep talent in Kentucky, and to show that agriculture has an exciting and innovative future. Bluegrass Ag Tech, or BADC, was founded by our four outstanding partners who share a vision for making Kentucky the agricultural technology capital of the United States. Our partners are the Lexington, Fayette, Urban County Government, the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, Kentucky University of Kentucky, Martin Gatton College of Ag, Food, and Environment, and Alltech. Our mission is simple: connect entrepreneurs with the resources to scale their ideas, open new markets to farmers, create high-quality jobs that keep the best and brightest right here in the Commonwealth. Ag Tech is critical to Kentucky's future because it's where agriculture and economic development intersect. As our board member, Commissioner of Agriculture Jonathan Schell, constantly reminds us, investing in agriculture is economic development. It's also great to see leaders like Senator Rand Paul here today. His support for Kentucky farmers, entrepreneurs, and Ag Tech innovation helps make moments like this possible. Hempwood is a perfect example of what Ag Tech looks like in action. When Greg Wilson and his team applied for our $100,000 BADC Challenge Grant, they had a bold vision to turn two Kentucky crops, hemp and soybeans, into a sustainable, carbon-negative building material. And that vision has become a reality, and their impact is impressive. They supported 22 Kentucky jobs, including two new positions added since receiving our grant. They have over $450,000 of outside investments grants leveraged to support expand operations. And they have over 250 acres of hemp contract with local farmers, paying $800 to $1,000 per acre, with projected demand to reach over between 1,000 and 3,000 acres as new products come to line. They've expanded their operations, like this new co-located facility, a bioburner energy system to boost efficiency and sustainability. What makes Hempwood especially exciting is how it bridges Kentucky's heritage and our future. The state was once the heart of America's hemp industry, and today Hempwood is bringing that industry, that legacy, into the 21st century. They're turning locally grown hemp and soybeans into building materials that capture carbon, demand, reduce environmental impact, and meet the growing need for sustainable construction. Every square foot of Hempwood stores nearly a pound of carbon, literally building sustainability with Kentucky-grown products. And Hempwood is just one story in our expanding ag tech ecosystem. Through the BADC Challenge Grant Program, we've created or supported 56 Kentucky jobs, including over a new dozen jobs in the last year. We've helped Kentucky startups secure over $6.9 million in additional follow-up investment to their companies. And we've supported innovations that range from plant-based building materials, biological pest controls, smart detection technologies, and even sustainable fuels. These are the seeds of long-term growth. They keep farm economies strong, attract businesses to rural Kentucky, and give our young people a reason to build their careers right here at home. So today's, I said ribbon cutting, but today's board cutting is more than about a new factory. It's about honoring agriculture heritage, embracing innovation, and proving that Kentucky can lead the nation in agricultural technology. On behalf of Bluegrass Ag Tech and our founding partners, I want to congratulate Greg Wilson and his team and the entire Hempwood team. Your success is a win for farmers, it's a win for rural Kentucky, and it's a win for the ag tech economy that will shape our state's future. Thank you for letting BADC be a part of this journey, and congratulations on this new exciting chapter for Hempwood.
Let's hear from Greg Wilson, man of a few words and a lot of action. I would say I'm a baseball fan, okay, a baseball and agriculture. But if you see the coolest thing made in Kentucky, that was a competition a few years ago. Let's just say the runner-up was Louisville Slugger Bats. The coolest thing made in Kentucky, Greg Wilson.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brandon. And if my guys, my managers and owners in the company would come up too, we've got Tommy Copeland, we've got Matt McCormick, and we've got Austin Korn. So these guys actually do the work. I might be the brains, I might be the looks, but these guys are the muscle actually doing it. And so they're each going to say something here, because these guys started as interns from Murray State University when there wasn't even concrete in the ground, and we had some equipment coming in from overseas. And so these guys started as interns, they've earned ownership in the company, and 5-6 years later, now they're actually operating factories, handling employees, managing everything that has to happen day to day while I'm running around trying to keep the wheels on. So with that being said, I'd like to have Tommy come up and say something.
How's everybody doing today?
Good. I appreciate everybody being here.
My name's Tommy Copeland. I'm in charge of the growing program through the block factory, the other factory we've got. So from seed until the blocks are cut, it's kind of my purview. I want to thank some of the guys that have been working here for me at the block factory for a couple years now. Jay Walter, Wes Mathis, Reggie, and Cody Thorne. So I want to appreciate you guys, and Matt.
I'm Matthew McCormick. I started as an intern in 2019. Have Tommy to thank for that. We were both in the AGR house one day, and he said, "Hey, I got a proposition for you. You want an internship at a hemp company?" And I was like, "Hemp? Are you smoking it, or like, what's the deal?" He goes, "No, it's like fiber hemp." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. Well, I'll check it out." One thing led to another. I met Greg in the office, sat down, resume. He's like, "Well, you want to start making some hemp wood?" I was like, "Why not? We'll go after it." One thing led to another, and here I am today, plant manager of the building you're currently standing in. Pretty proud to see the whole process and everything that from the start of 2019 to being a whole facility now. I was in the side shop of the other building. And I got a couple guys here I can thank for that. Jake has been around since the same time I have, standing in the back there. Ishmael and Arnufo, Roberto, these guys are the workhorses that do the day-to-day. I just boss them around. They do whatever I need. So got a Korn here. We'll talk next. So.
Hi, I'm Austin Korn, or if you ask any of the guys here, they just call me Korn. I started out here as an intern my senior year of college. growing up, if you would have asked me what even a hemp plant was, I probably wouldn't have been able to tell you. But somehow Tommy got me roped in. You can see he does that. He recruits people. Recruited, you know, me and Matt to come and, you know, check out Hempwood. Graduated college. Greg offered me a full-time position, and I spent the past few years being in charge of all machinery setup and maintenance. Hemp breaks everything, so it always kept me busy. tends to do that. I was going to thank some of the guys, but I think Matt already hit it. I think the only person that wasn't thanked was Adam. So shout out to Adam. And then just some shout outs to some of the guys that helped get me to where I am. I couldn't do my job without Dale Wise. I know he's not here, but you know, just giving him a shout out, and Charles Harris as well, which he passed away in 2020 to COVID. But I wouldn't know anything about what I do without those guys. Also a little bit of thank you to my wife, because I know working here is not the easiest, especially a lot of late nights, always things to do. And then just even a big thank you to Greg for putting up with me, Matt, and Tommy for all these years, and Murray State University as well, because I love what I do, and I wouldn't be here without Murray State University either. So but thanks.
Okay, so here's a couple remarks before we get the main show up here. First, hemp grows on God's green earth, so we got to thank him. We have people that believed in us from the beginning. My parents cut the first check for hempwood. I got $40,000 from them before there was even a patent written. And that came from my inheritance from my grandmother. And so having them come along, my dentist, Doc Beachley's here. He stroked a check before we set this place up. We took him out on a fishing trip. We caught a whole bunch of fish. He was happy and he said, hey, I'm in. And then we have Key Horse Capital. If anyone's starting a business in Kentucky, talk to Kelby here. The state has a venture capital fund that looks at more things than just return. And they're willing to take risks on you. And these guys have really helped us out. They actually have these different hubs around the state, incubators that can help you set stuff up. And they drive 3-4 hours to come help you cut a ribbon. They cut checks. They introduce you to different programs that help you get research grants, help you hire people. So those type of things are super important. The university here, Dean Parr, he's had two of his sons that have worked here through the years. Three sons worked here. And his daughter actually makes these hats for us. So this whole thing happens in the community here. We have hemp grown in the county here. We were talking to the local school districts, and we've been doing the Warren County Public Schools. We actually have done two. We got two more we're doing right now. And now our county here, Callaway, is looking about putting it in the new elementary school, because people are finding that we have Professor Miller from Murray State, who helped us develop a soy protein adhesive to replace formaldehyde, which is typically used in woods. And when you don't have VOCs inside of a classroom, inside of your home, you actually have better performance. And that's been documented for years. And the folks that are able to monetize things like that, like casinos that pump oxygen into the casino to keep you alert and gambling, well, now our school systems are catching on to it and saying, hey, maybe not putting dirty chemicals and having better ventilation inside of these buildings helps the learning experience for the students. And that's been going on at Harvard Business School since the 80s, where they don't allow formaldehyde in their classrooms. Now it's getting to Kentucky Public Schools, Murray State, UK, all these different universities. And so we appreciate everybody coming out here. We have samples for anybody who has a project potentially in mind that wants to take them home and choose a color and then give me a call. We'd love to help you out. And then I'd like to turn it back over to Dr. Brandon so we can get Senator Paul, my favorite politician since Theodore Roosevelt.
Thank you, Greg. Y'all stay here. Tommy, y'all stay here. Y'all are going to need it. Tommy, y'all are going to need to be up here. So next, we want to certainly welcome and introduce Senator Dr. Rand Paul. His entrance into politics is indicative of his life work as a surgeon, a desire to diagnose problems and provide practical solutions, whether in Bowling Green, Kentucky, or Washington, D.C. Senator, good to have you. Senator Rand Paul. I don't have a shirt, but I've got a hat. So.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Greg and your team, congratulations on all you've done so far, the expansion, and let me know when the next expansion comes so I can come back. Dr. Brannon, referring to the beginning stages of this and the trial with hemp, reminds me of riding around in the car right around the time the DEA said, these are drugs and we're coming after you, and they held up the supply in Louisville. So I'm riding around with my assistant state director, and she says, oh, by the way, you don't mind, I have 7 pounds of hemp seeds, in the back of the car as we're driving around. I said, oh, you know, that'll make headlines, you know, for arrested for cannabis seeds, hemp seeds. But anyway, it went on. I testified before the state legislature early on to help with the state rules. I've been a big fan of this from the very beginning. I will tell you, though, about 6 months ago, folks from the hemp industry came to me and they said, something's happening and it could literally destroy the entire hemp industry. When it was legalized several years ago, they set a limit, and there's a number. The new number they have would be half as much. It wouldn't matter so much in this industry because the THC isn't a concern, but some of the things that are sold, the CBD oil and the gummies and things, probably some of the effect of why people buy them is because of the THC that's in them. It's a small amount compared to marijuana, but there's some. If you cut that in half, you may well destroy the market. You may well make it where we can't produce stuff at that level. But they also said in the amendment that CBD oil can only have a nominal amount of THC. Well, that doesn't sound very scientific to me because I don't know what nominal means, but it sounds small. Is it zero? Is it close to zero? Is it going to be something that's so low nobody wants to buy CBD oil anymore? But this isn't very thoughtful. This passed out of the House. It came to the Senate. And sometimes you have veto power. I can't fix this forever, but I have temporary veto power. And I said, I will not consent to the agricultural appropriations coming forward unless you take the amendment out. So they took it out, and I let them have the vote. We passed the agricultural money, but the Senate doesn't have the amendment in. The House does. The key in this is probably two people that need to be convinced that there's a better way. One is Andy Harris, who's in appropriations of the House, and the other is your senior senator. Now, your senior senator was involved with getting this started in the beginning. He deserves credit for being a big part of getting this in the Farm Bureau. But him or his staff aren't thinking clearly on this amendment. This amendment will destroy the hemp industry. Something more thoughtful has to happen. And I've been thinking about this, and for 2 or 3 years, or maybe 5 years, I've been putting forward a hemp bill that says we shouldn't test the plant anyway. I think it's ridiculous to test the plant. I think all you should have to show if you're a farmer growing hemp is a certificate saying I'm growing hemp, and you get it from a certified dealer, and you grow it. I don't care what it is, because the only time it matters is if it's going to be eaten, all right? Since we don't eat the plant that is made for hemp wood, it gets processed and none of the plant is eaten, you shouldn't test it at all. There is no reason under God's green earth to test this plant at all. That would be a huge improvement. But if you agree with me, you've got to help me. You've got to call Senator McConnell. You've got to call Representative Harris and try to say, look, we don't eat our plant. What they are concerned about are people getting some juiced up hemp products that have intoxicating effect. That does not apply to your industry at all. But this is a good chance, while this controversy is going on, to try to get the grower out of this. The farmer should not be tested. Why? Because I can grow 0.3% hemp, and I can distill all the water off of it, and I can make it 10% THC. You can make it any number when you distill something by taking water off. You make something more concentrated. But there are some reasonable rules that can be made about things they're adding into hemp products that are edible. I'm open to hearing about from you what those rules will be, but there are probably going to have to be some rules, and that's going to be the trade-off. But what we don't want is what they have put forward now, I think would kill the hemp industry. It's too low. It's about half as much as what we currently have, and it doesn't fix the farm solution. So particularly for hemp wood, let's lobby to get the plant out completely. But even for the hemp products that people eat, I don't think you need to test the farm product. Test what is being eaten. One of the senators came up to me from a corn state, and he says, well, you know, we make alcohol from corn, but we don't regulate how much alcohol's in the corn. You know, you regulate the alcohol, you regulate what's being consumed. So there's no reason to regulate the plant, you regulate what is the product. And so this was a mistake from the beginning. I don't have the power to permanently fix it unless you all get involved, unless you all call your national associations and get them involved. There is a logical compromise to what the amendment will be, but what it is now, I think, will kill the industry. It may not, I don't know if it kills the hemp food industry, but it won't be good, because it's one more rule. It's a lower limit, it's just going to be more difficult for farmers who have to plow their crops under. But I am a big fan of freedom, of innovation, of new businesses. I love that you're in Western Kentucky, and I wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Greg, I believe you're going to present that to him. And I think we're going to have a ceremonial. Wood cutting, I think. So.
Yeah, I thought I would use martial arts.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Great. If we could have all of our speakers to come up and flank.
Our company's name is actually Fibonacci sequence, the carbon sequence ratio, and the compression ratio of making the bamboo the eucalyptus that's smart enough to know. So, what we're going to do here is we're going to get you to cut this. Tom, you're going to pull me down off the front.
All right.
He's got a saw for you. I've got.
We want to make sure and get good eye protection here for the eye surgeons.
It's not blind, so.
That's all right.
It went better in practice.
Thank you, Senator Paul. Thank you, Greg. Greg, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you to the community. Thank you for everybody coming out. Thank you for people that traveled from afar. We have Mina came from Pennsylvania to come and see what we're doing here. We have Professor Miller, who actually invented the glue that we use, and that is going to trickle down using soy instead of petroleum in a lot of different building material products. So he didn't want to come up here and speak today, so I had to make sure we at least spoke about him. So thank you for everybody coming. Yep, we have our local judges here. Judge Imes, he came out. He's actually been to every single event that we've had through the years. We have, if anybody is hungry, the burgers actually came from a cow that was raised on my organic farm. I was grinding it up into burger today. So if anybody wants to take one home, you're more than welcome. And we have samples over here. If anybody has a project, whether it's in their home or their office, grab some samples, take it home, and just give me a call when you're ready.